This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by candidate for City Council, Scott Madsen. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for joining 307 Net Info and telling us a little bit about why you're running for City Council again, because you are indeed currently on City Council, coming up to the end of your second term. What prompted you to want to run again?
Basically, I'm still willing and able to run for a third term, and we're in the middle of several big projects. The Wells project, I've been involved with that for the past 6 years. That's finally, we've got contractors starting there that soon. The Main Street project, I've been involved in the planning for that for 5 or 6 years. It kept getting delayed on YDOT's end. So I kind of want to be on to see through to completion.
So you're well known to some in the community, but maybe not to everybody. Maybe you'd just like to tell us a little bit about, you know, your background, your experience and qualifications that you can bring to a City Council seat.
I'm born and raised here. I grew up in this town, and mainly I want to continue to keep Buffalo the way it was when I grew up and keep it a nice place to live. I'm self-employed general contractor. I had several businesses and towns over the years, so I know the local business climate. I'm familiar with many of the people and organizations in town just from my time living here. And basically with my 8 years on council, I have a good background of knowledge and expertise of how the city operates, and I feel that will be beneficial going forward.
So you describe wanting to keep Buffalo as it was, as you remember it, growing up. What are those particular things that you could point to that you feel are the essence that needs to stay?
I think a lot of it is just still trying to maintain the small town feel, the welcomingness, and keeping it business friendly, and trying to help small businesses grow. Because with our tourist season, we have the businesses make a lot more money in the summer on the tourist-related ones, and they have to learn how to survive in the winter when it slows down. The locals have to support them, and it's. I've been involved in several different industries over the years, so I do know how the tourist side works as well. And yeah, I just kind of want to make sure that we keep that open, welcoming attitude. And one of the reasons I think why Longmire Days is such a success is because we are such a welcoming community, and that is a great benefit you don't find in a lot of places.
Absolutely. So when it comes to a lot of the City Council's work is actually choosing how to spend city money. It's about budget and how to prioritize that. Can you explain to voters how you approach that, what your attitude towards spending is, and how you come and how that translates into the votes that you cast?
A lot of the budgeting it has gone down some. We've had some downturns. When I was first on council for 6 months in 2012, we were bringing in roughly $1 million more a year in income than we were more recently. And with the COVID shutdown, it was even more pronounced. The city relies majority on sales tax income, and that. So we see more of the sales tax swings. When we had the oil and gas and the methane, COVID methane going, we had a lot more sales tax revenue from that. So that's when we had more money to spend. And now that we have less money, we are trying to spend it in the most reasonable way possible. We've cut city departments down about as much as we can to still provide full services and without duplicating services between different ones. And we just have to watch the dollars and make sure every expenditure is reasonable and prudent to use of city funds.
And how do you make those decisions? There are many, many tough decisions to make. There's not enough money to go around for everything that everybody wants or would like or maybe even needs. How do you approach that?
Well, we lean on our staff pretty heavily with Julie Sivernail, our basic chief clerk treasurer coordinator, and she helps compile everything, but we also lean on department heads for them to give us their budget requests and explain why they need what monies they do need. And then we have several 8 or 10 meetings this spring for budget discussions where we talk between the council members and talk with department heads and everybody else that wants money. And we try to figure out where's the best use of the money. What do we need to spend this year? What can we delay a year to, and how can we stretch the limited funding out as far as possible? And we've applied for some federal and state grants and getting some money there to help, but there's a limit to how much grant funding's available. So we just have to basically prioritize what's needed now, what are services we have to provide that we have to spend the money on, and how can we best allocate the funds to cover most everything possible that in a reasonable way.
Of the three candidates that are standing for the city council position this election, you are the only one who currently has a seat on the city council. What do you think the priorities of the council should be, and are they in the right place at the moment?
I think we're doing pretty good as a council. Yeah, we've been, because of decline in revenues the past few years, we've had to basically more, I guess, streamline operations and just try to keep going forward. We're planning on pushing this sixth penny tax again for more road work in Buffalo, and because we see a need there, and we've got some funds from ARPA for the past couple of years to do some projects, but now that funding source has dried up, so we need to find other sources. We're exploring every option we can to bring in additional revenue while still keeping our water, sewer, garbage rates as reasonable as possible, and try not to raise those unless we have to.
So do you think that there are any specific priorities that the council should be touching?
One of the big things is I'm on the housing task committee or task force, and I'm helping there as a liaison member to try to give some city input. But we definitely need to find more ways to provide attainable housing and possibly some type of economic development, but it's hard to bring in too many new businesses if you don't have a place for the employees to live.
Indeed, that was going to be my next question, was about, and there are many ways of describing it, affordable housing, workforce housing, attainable housing, and so on. But housing is a critical problem right now in the city, maybe even for the county, but it is largely centered on the city because people cannot come and move here. It frustrates people who want to move here. Even people who are already here and would like to move properties struggle with that. And it also hampers local employers who can't find people to come and work for them. So growth, it hinders growth. High land prices and labor and material costs and so on make it unattractive for developers to come in the way that they previously did without local sweeteners. You mentioned that you're on the committee that is looking at solving this problem, but what role do you think the city council should have in terms of encouraging and incentivizing development of new homes or new properties or even converting existing structures into maybe affordable or more attainable housing?
The city itself is, we're more limited. We can't really give funds to private individuals for building construction projects. We can do more giving towards a nonprofit or foundation, which is one reason the Housing Foundation is set up. And I think one way the city can probably help is if we're, with our recent land use plan and comprehensive plan we did, yeah, we we're trying to identify some areas where we're reasonably expecting growth to occur, and we can look at trying to find other grant funds or state funds available to extend water and sewer infrastructure to some of these subdivisions. We wouldn't do anything inside a private subdivision, but we would bridge that gap between the existing city and their new chunk of property if there's a gap in there, so somebody building a new subdivision doesn't have to pay for a mile of lines that's not within the boundaries of what they're developing.
So that will describe how the city could actually practically incentivize a developer. They could make it cheaper and so on, but they wouldn't actually be spending their own money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and in the long run, yeah, that infrastructure reverts to the city after a year or two warranty when a developer puts it in. So we're building our city distribution infrastructure and transmission lines, but we're not, yeah, it's, and that way the city can afford to do it, because a lot of those times that, yeah, we're running main lines down the roads and stuff that aren't really going to be serving end users, but we just need to connect point A and point B. And that's one reason, one place the city is allowed to spend money and able to help out.
Local businesses, you mentioned them earlier, actually, are a cornerstone of Buffalo's economy. They serve local residents throughout the year, and they also attract visitors and to our community. And all of that comes back to the city for expenditure and sales tax, as you mentioned. What role do you think should the city council take in encouraging and supporting local businesses?
I think, well, part of that, several years ago, we rezoned the downtown, made it B3 business district to help more closely align the zoning issues with that area of town and how the businesses were situated. And yeah, we can look further into our planning and zoning and see if there's any more ways we can help become more business friendly, so we can not provide any hindrance to them in operation, but yet we still want to level an even playing field between all the businesses, so the new ones don't get big incentives and the longtime businesses don't get help. We want to make sure everybody's treated fairly, but it's still, if make it easy for businesses to be able to survive in this town.
As a contractor, I would imagine that you have a sort of special interest and a unique perspective on city's infrastructure. It's extremely important. It's things that we take for granted: water, safe water supply, sewer, roads, etc. But they are constantly aging. How do you address the challenges posed by a defined smaller budget, aging systems which need maintenance and repairs and so on, but also the need for upgrades and preparing for the future?
Yeah, and we've actually done a couple road projects the past few years, just paid for out of reserves, and a couple big waterline replacements paid for out of reserves because they were desperately needed at the time, and we didn't have a other source of funding. So we do have some money in reserve, but we don't have a tremendous amount. We can fix immediate needs if necessary, but we could fix four or five streets in town and then our reserves would be totally shot. But it's the high cost of rebuilding roads leads us to, if we're trying to find other ways to rehabilitate them and lengthen the service life of the roads without full reconstructions. It's similar to what Main Street is doing. The YDOT's not doing a full rebuild of that road. They're just milling, overlaying, getting new driving surface on there. And we might be able to do some of that type work in our city streets to help keep going. But some places we have done the full rebuild is where our water and sewer infrastructure is 50, 60, 70 years old, and it's starting to fail. And we're part of the way we identified the street for this year's sixpenny tax. It's one of the ones where we have frequent waterline breaks and problems, and we're there fixing stuff once or twice a year on that street. So that was one of the we're trying to figure out the worst ones that are costing us the most money now in repairs and try to fix those first and save the repair money there to use elsewhere. And it's a delicate balancing game.
Is it cheaper to go in and really do some sort of fundamental restructuring and go in and really get down to the bottom of it, or to just keep repairing as and when it's required?
Well, it varies on that, but yeah, if we go in and do the minimal resurfacing and stuff, we can get another 30 years plus out of a lot. If we total rebuild, we get 50, 60 years. We can more usable life if we do a more complete rebuild, but the costs go up exponentially. And it's the main reason to do more than a simple overlay is where we need to underground work. But yeah, even with YDOT, we're spending, I believe it's 700 some thousand of water reserves to replace the water line under Main Street, because it's now's the time to do it. When YDOT has it tore up, we're only paying to replace the water line. We don't have to worry about the street cutter repair, because that's part of the other project. So it's saving us money and it's beneficial for the city, but it's still a large chunk of money that we've got to come up with out of reserves.
So if you were to spend another 4 years on city council, what do you hope would be have been accomplished during your term?
I think one of the biggest things is probably to be able to see a few new housing developments, complexes, whatever type, however that works out, try to ease the housing burden in our city. And I'd like to see if the sixpenny does tax, tax does pass, I'd like to see get some more road upkeep and maintenance. We have 20-30 miles of roads in this city limits that we have to deal with, and we're getting a better inventory on them. I think we just need to keep, if we keep taking a bite a year and fix a street or two a year, one way or another, we can slowly get around it. For a while there, after when the city first paved the streets and chip and seal them years ago, they didn't do much work for a while because they didn't have the funding, and now we're trying to play catch up still. And that's, we need to be proactive and work ahead and try to keep as much as we can moving forward.
So is there anything else that you would like to say to voters before we wind up here? Is there anything that you would like them to know that maybe we haven't covered?
I think the only thing is, I've enjoyed my time on council. It's not really a job. It's more of a passion. I enjoy serving and giving back to the public, and I'm willing to serve for one more term and to use my knowledge and expertise I've learned in the past 8 years to moving forward for the next four to help the city move forward.
Well, Scott Madsen, candidate for city council, I wish you well in the quite a few weeks of campaigning, such as it is. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Okay, thank you.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.